You never know what you've got
there. I think you had some grass snakes too there, didn't you?
Yeah.
When they come from the...
Don't talk now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You got. Did you say you were coming out of manure or something? What was that?
Yeah. Well, the trouble, what happened was Mr. Dimmock used to dump lorry loads of horse manure on my ground for my allotment. And one year I stacked it all up on the side and left it over the winter. And in the July time, I wanted to use some to top dress my allotment. And I found bunches of things, grey, small grey things, looked very much like a sugared almond, the same shape, and they turned out to be clutches of grass snake eggs. I'd never seen grass snake eggs in my life before, so I wasn't sure what they were.
But they go there for the warmth of the manure, I suppose.
Yeah, there was obviously, were being put in there by the female grass snake, mm. and that the heat of the heap would have sort of hatched them. Unfortunately, a lot of them that I found were dead, were completely there, but they were dead when I opened them up. But there were a great number of them that were still alive, and I just used to release them in the grass there. Mm-hmm. One weekend, my son took home about half a dozen bags of horse manure. When he went to use it on Monday night, he found out he got lots of little grass snakes.
Oh, yeah,
that's his as well.
He
took them up. He lives in March in Cambridgeshire.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of open land up there, so hopefully they survived up there.
Oh, introducing the species.
Yeah. No, so as I say, these eggs were clutches, 20 or 30 in a clutch.
Oh, yes.
And I did dig right back to the back of the manure, and I found there was a hole at the back where she had obviously come in through the back. Oh, and she'd made a hole there roughly about as big as a football. Oh, and that's where she'd obviously had all her eggs.
Oh.
But I think a lot of them hadn't hatched out because the manure, because it was about a year old, was more or less stale and it didn't heat up as she was expected it. Because I understand grass snake lay their eggs in heaps of sort of compost type material which hops up and and they hatch themselves.
You used to get quite a few rabbits too, didn't you?
There is a ruling that all landowners should keep rabbits under control, and that obviously was part of our pest control work. At the beginning I made myself some traps, about 8 or 9 traps, and used those. They were a bit crude, but at least they worked. But then I started getting trouble, especially on South Side, with the animal rights people, and they actually found all mine one year after I'd stopped rabbiting and I'd put them down in a heap temporary. And they smashed them up, or took them away, and I presume dumped them. So when it came to the rabbiting season again in the autumn, I approached my foreman.
How did they get in to get you? Because it'd be inside the...
Well, they were workers.
Oh,
They were the workers from Southside.
Yeah.
In fact, Lynn Leonard was one of the culprits.
Oh, well, he said about that.
Yeah, she was one of the culprits. So I approached my foreman, Mr. Perry, Ernie Perry, and he said, well, George, that's part of your work. If they've smashed your traps up, we'll buy some new ones. So he told me to find out any gen, and I did, and they bought me 6 new ones. But I still used to get trouble from animal rights people. So it was a more of an undercover job, more than...
You did that after you retired, too, didn't you?
And I'd done it, yeah. When I retired at 65, I approached Mr. Perry, who was going to take over my job. Nobody wanted it. And I was asked to carry on doing the work, and which I did. And I still do it, even rabbit pest control work, now, even though I'm 79 years old now.
Well, it helps to fill a few pies in the...
Let's see.
Tell me about a foxhound got...
I got told, quite a few years ago now, I got told that there was a dog on north side on a small piece of land that juts out where the boundary fence went straight, but the river on the bend left a bit of land outside the fence. There was a dog gun there, and I was told to try and rescue it. There, fortunately, there was a gate there which I was able to unlock, and I found this dog there, and I realised it was a foxhound. I couldn't catch it myself, but I enlisted the help of one of the dog handlers, a chap named Sunday Powell, and he managed to catch it quite easily. And I took it home with a piece of string around its neck to look after it. And of course, I got a few comments from the local workers who saw me. But I then contacted what was then the Enfield Chase Foxhound Society, and the boss of the foxhounds, the hunt man,
Master of the Hounds.
He came down. I'd locked it in a shed and give it a bit of food, and he came down that night, just turned his ear over and said, yes, that's one of ours. Oh. And he told me it had been lost for 3 weeks. It was about 30 miles from here, and it had obviously been making its way home, but he'd misjudged his, because their foxhounds are down at Broxbourne, I think. Their kennels
down
at Broxbourne.
He didn't do too bad, though, did he?
He didn't do too bad, he's only a few mile out. Oh. And he came and actually sent me a thank you letter afterwards with £2 in it. So,
which was quite a bit in those days.
Quite a lot of money, really, in those days, because my wages then were only probably about £12-14 a week. And so he got his foxhound back.
Oh, that's how long holidays did you used to get in the early days of when you were here?
We used to get the same holidays as the factory workers. I think it was 1 week at first, but I can't remember. I think it went up to two or three weeks at the end.
Yes.
But no, we had the same holiday periods as the ordinary workers.
Oh, yes. And you enjoyed the job?
I enjoyed the job very much. Yeah. It was, to me, I was a square peg in the square hole. I enjoyed nature. I enjoyed the factory. To me, it was a wonderful place to work in. All right.
Yes.
When you had trouble with the waters, it could be difficult, you know, getting pulled out of bed in the middle of the night and things like that. Or some nights stopping up all night, because you knew you'd got to keep going out to check the gates all right.
Yeah.
But I know, I did enjoy it very much.
Yes, I did, you know. It was interesting doing the job that, the job itself, one was interested in, and also in lovely surroundings.
I was going to say lovely surroundings. Yes. I mean, it was glorified park, wasn't it?
That walking around your own estate,
To me, it felt like my own estate.
Have you got a few notes down there, George? Have you got there another?
Did I tell you about the stoat on Southside? After they built the flood relief channel, our work with the riverways rather declined. And we were transferred to building works, which of course meant that we'd done all sorts of jobs like. And one morning, we had a gang of about five. Sometimes we worked on our own, sometimes we worked as a gang, or we were split up. This particular morning on Southside, I was told there was a water burst with a 4-inch main. And so I was told to start digging out, ready for the plumbers. I was on my own in the morning. In the afternoon, Stan Beadle, who was my charge hand, joined me. And as we got to the place where we were working, he suddenly realised there was a dead rabbit a few yards away. And he knew I like a rabbit pie. So I went to pick it up. It had just been killed. It was still warm. All it had was a little blood mark on the back of its neck. So I picked it up and hung it on the handlebars of my bike and tromped it and stood my bike up nearby a tree. We started working and suddenly Stan said, look, and there was this stoat, and it was a part albino. It was the head and the rear end of it was the normal colour, the dark brown, but it got a big white stripe right across his middle. And it was where the rabbit had been laying, he was standing there, and he kept standing up, sniffing the air and trying to find out where his rabbit had gone. And we stopped and watched it, and it gradually went round in a half circle. Every few yards it would pop up again, have another good sniff, and it gradually worked round to my bike where my rabbit was, where the rabbit was hanging on the handlebar.
Went up on his haunches, like?
Yeah, standing on his haunches, sniffing around until he got to the bike, and then he found his rabbit, and he jumped up, and he was hanging on the ears of the rabbit because he couldn't pull it off. So we chased it off. And strangely enough, only about a week later, a week or two later, we were, our area where we mixed concrete was near the boundary fence. And our little gang went there to do a mix of concrete after lunch one day. As before we started, we heard this big scream. Straight away, I knew it was a stoat after a rabbit. So we worked out where the noise was coming from, and all four or five of us crept quietly toward where it was, and we stood and we watched this stoat, and it was the same stoat with a big white band on it. It was up chasing this rabbit, and it was going round and round in circles of this rabbit, and the rabbit was trying to twist his neck round to see where it was. All of a sudden it just pounced on it, bit him at the back of the neck and killed it. Of course.
As quick as that.
Oh yeah, very quick it is. Mm. And he just killed it. We just stood there and watched it till it killed him. We went up, chased it away, and I got another rabbit from yourself. But it was strange. That was only about 100 yards away from where the original one had on the south side there.
Oh yeah.
As I said, when working the river, you never knew what you were going to get come out of the river, and I had three occasions when I found funny things in the river.
Yeah.
One was on North, or two on North Side. One, there was three black bags floating in the river. I pulled them out of the river because that was part of our job, keep the river clean, and it turned out to be the contents of somebody's freezer. There was chickens, lumps of lamb, chops, liver, sausages, all sorts of things. Obviously someone's freezer had gone up the creek and all the stuff had deteriorated. Just chucked in the river. So all I'd done is pulled it out one side, laid it about, because the foxes and wild birds would have that, and cleared that within a few days, a whole lot.
Oh, they cleared it?
Oh yeah, they cleared it. Yeah. Another time I pulled the sack out of the river and there was all blood come out of it. I don't wonder what I'd got. And it was a sack full of lumps of old meat. Again, you didn't know. And I had the same occasion down on the south side, another sack I pulled out of the river and blood poured out of it. Unfortunately, I suppose, on my part, I only did get one body out of the river. Yeah. And that was on the bridge by Abbey View, corner of Badmill Lane. I got called out one Saturday afternoon by the police and asked if I'd got